Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me today Darren Wagner. He is the president and CEO and a director of Balmoral Resources. It's a company that I own shares in. It's a recommendation in my newsletter. The stock trades in Toronto under the symbol BAR, and you can buy it in the U.S. as I have under the symbol BALMF. 138.5 million shares out. I saw earlier today in a very tough day for the gold share market, about 18 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of around $25 million in U.S. money. Darren is a professional geologist. He's had over 20 years of exploration and corporate development experience. He's worked for some major mining companies, household name firms like Noranda and Cominco in the past as a project geologist. More recently, been devoting his time towards the junior sector, exploring and developing mineral deposits for the up-and-coming companies mostly in Canada. Thanks for joining me again, Darren.
My pleasure, Jay, and thank you very much for having me.
So I want to ask you about, you've got two projects that I'm aware of in Quebec that are, one is very noteworthy, seems to be getting very little, well, neither of them seem to be getting a lot of attention now because I think most junior mining companies aren't getting any attention, no matter how good their projects are a lot of times. So, but your Martiniere gold project in Quebec, you have an indicated gold resource, I believe, 591,000 ounces, of which most of those are open pit numbers, open pit or ounces, and then another, I think, about 159,000 or higher grade underground. Your last resource number was that those numbers were reported, I believe, in March, and subsequently on May 2nd, you reported some pretty spectacular assays, albeit over fairly narrow widths, perhaps, but they were very, very high numbers. What can you tell us about your winter drill program? Because that's where those came from. Those numbers came from a winter drill program, I believe. What can you tell us about those results and what they mean for the project?
Well, yeah, we were very happy to get the initial resource out. Yes, you're right. It's dominantly a shallow resource. It's basically over the first 350 vertical meters of that system. And then the subsequent drilling, that we did, did show multi-ounce numbers in places over narrow widths as we continued down into the sort of 450 meter vertical level. So we're continuing to see the deposit grow and continuing to see some very high grade material. I think in particular, we were happy that we were seeing the high grade material in the footwall or the hanging wall side of the zone where it had been relatively weak. It now seems to be starting to open itself up again on the hanging wall side as we go a little deeper and with that very high grade material. So we see a lot of potential at Martiniere for it to continue to grow over time, and we're looking at this point in time to see if we can't find a partner to work with in terms of growing it as we start to drill those deeper, more expensive holes. But you know, it's open on every front, and with a solid half million plus ounce starter pit scenario at a couple of grams, we think it's an attractive proposition, and you know, and very well located up there in Quebec.
Will your emphasis be? I mean, it seems like you have a lot more potential laterally near surface. So are your efforts going to be focused more at the deeper stuff now, or the higher grade deeper stuff? Or is there still some potential on surface to expand open pitable resources?
We'd like to see what we can do in the near surface, both along strike and in a couple of nearby discoveries in the Lac de Dois area, a couple kilometers away and a few hundred meters away in Horsefly and those others. Like to see what we can do in the near surface. Be nice to see if we couldn't, over a bit of time here, get the near surface resource closer to sort of a million ounces in a pitable configuration. So I think that'll be our focus, and if we can find somebody to help us advance the deep stuff a little quicker, then we'll look at that as well. The deep drilling gets expensive, and you've got to be in a fairly reasonable market and to do a lot of that, and we've seen, that. So I will continue to work away at the deeper stuff, sort of call it scoping, I guess, rather than necessarily resource delineation. Mm-hmm. in terms of defining where the system goes and how it performs. But the near-term focus at Martin Air will probably be in the shallow parts to see if we can't sort of bump up that pitable resource category.
Mm-hmm. Just to looking over some of the numbers that you put out on May 2nd in your winter drill results. I mean, hole 324, 87 grams over 0.73 meters. Hole 325, 33.1 grams over about a meter. And then another 30.8 grams over 1.28 meters. I mean, how far apart are these holes? Hole 325 had two of those high-grade sections. And then you had how far apart were those drilled?
I think in terms of the total distance between the intercepts and the two holes, you're looking at about 85 meters in total. So that follows on, obviously, from the material that's above it over the upper 350 meters. So they, you know, mm-hmm. they do add vertically to the deposit. They're close enough, certainly, that, they're capturable, in a mine plan. And those kind of ounce plus grades, you can happily take those intervals into your resource. And then in the deeper parts in the footwall side, we also had some decent intercepts. So I think we're maybe seeing it start to strengthen a bit as we get into that 400 meter level again, and then hanging wall side of the footwall continues to be decent, continues to add ounces. But if that hanging wall will suddenly open up again, over the next 100 odd meters, that'll be pretty positive, especially with those kind of grades kicking around.
Yeah. Are there more assays to come from your winter program?
There's only, I think, less than the winter program. There's only about three exploration holes up in the Lac du Doigt area where we're following up on some discoveries we've made over the last year. They're pretty widely spaced holes. So you'll probably see, those over the next couple of weeks. We're just waiting for some of the geophysics that we did at the same time to come back, so we've got some context to present those in for people. And that'll kind of wrap up the drilling aspect of the winter program in terms of news flow. There is also some geophysics on a couple of other nearby properties that we haven't drilled on yet, on Highway 10 and N2 that was completed, and those will have defined some targets for testing. And then, as we roll into the latter half of the year, into the third and fourth quarter, we'll be going back to work on the project and probably now starting to bring Argosette nickel deposit back into the mix as well, with nickel having finally crested and holding north of $6 a pound.
Yeah, I want to ask you a little bit more about that Argosette project. That's, I think, that just another very valuable asset that people aren't paying much attention to. But just a couple more things, if we could, on the Martin Air.
Sure.
Just looking at a picture on your website showing them, I think I saw about a dozen outcroppings of this gold mineralization over a fairly large distance. Is there some thought that this is one major system that connects these outcrops at some depth?
Yeah, there's actually not much in the way of outcrop. Most of what you're seeing on there is sort of mapped by drilling, I guess, more than by outcrop. There's no real outcrop around. But yeah, I think what we've seen so far at Martin Air, this is an area with no historic exploration in it. What we've seen is that there is a large system in there. In fact, there's probably two or three separate systems that are overlapping in that area. We see quite different mineralization in the Martin Air west part of the system from the larger Bug Lake portion of the system. So I think, in context, it is much like we see elsewhere in the Abitibi, where you've got, multiple sort of high-grade systems working in the same general area and occasionally working in tandem to bump those grades up. It makes for some complexity geologically, for sure, but we kind of like complexity. It's a good thing in our world. It's a lot nicer when you've got more rock to work with and less drill holes to have to drill. But at the same time, because this is a series of newer discoveries, the evolution is constant and ongoing in both our understanding and our appreciation of the scale and the size of the system. So we think there's a heck of a lot more gold sitting out there underneath all that cover And it's just a matter of time and diligence on our part to, continue to grow what we've got.
Well, you certainly are in the gold camp. I mean, that whole Abitibi area is so rich, and a lot of these systems go quite deep, I believe, and are very productive. And of course, you have all the infrastructure that you could want or need, essentially, there too, plus a government that's very pro-mining as well in Quebec. Darren, your goal and your ambition as a junior explorer, how far are you willing and able to take this yourself? I mean, I think your goal is really to prove up something that will really get a couple of majors excited, perhaps. That's what you want to do, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in particular, Jay, in that part of the world, it is relatively rare for the junior who makes the discovery to be the group that is standing there cutting the ribbon on the day the mine opens, largely because it's a very comfortable place for any of the producers, be they, seniors or intermediates, to work, and they're always happy to have assets in that part of the world. So I think we walk into anything we do in that part of the world recognizing that, if we're successful in getting things to a certain size and grade combination, that there likely ends up being a buyer for it, and that's part of the business, and you can fight your way through to try and put your name on a head frame, but ultimately the better business is typically somewhere along the line to bring in a partner to develop it or to sell it outright.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to ask you, with a couple of minutes left yet, just comment briefly on your Grasset deposit. I mean, here you have a nickel, copper, platinum group metals deposit that's some investors have actually compared it favorably to Garibaldi's Nickel Mountain project. Yet the market, as I say, the market doesn't seem to be paying much attention. What gives? What are your plans for this?
Well, certainly at this point in time, it is kind of sitting there quietly in behind. It's a more real asset, I guess, than where Garibaldi is currently, in that we've produced a recent resource on it. It remains open. It's a very coherent body. It's one large 18-plus million ton sulfide body with a high-grade 3.5 million ton core in it. Open to depth. It's got a strong nickel component, which as we move into the EV battery world, the nickel sulfide component of Grasset has got to be attractive. It has payable credits in copper and gold and cobalt and platinum and palladium. On the plans, really, we had said for quite some time that we think that the world needs a 6 to 6.50 nickel price for Grasset to roll into the sort of potentially economic basket. And we've got back to there after 2 or 3 years when the nickel price was very depressed. So we're probably in mind to start seeing, some more activity both on the deposit and a number of nearby discoveries that we made in back in 2014, 2015, before the price kind of went south on us and we just kind of put it to bed for the moment. So we're very pleased with the progress in the nickel market. We see very good things ahead, especially for the nickel sulfides like Grasset. We see ample opportunity to both grow the deposit but also make additional discoveries in that belt. So we're excited to have the opportunity to get back to work on it. We think the nickel market on a roll forward here over the next few years is going to be a very strong place to be, and nickel sulfide assets of some size are very rare beasts, and they definitely look like they're going to deserve a fair bit of attention, and we're obviously getting some from outside on Grasset as the
Good.
Nickel price moves forward.
Okay, so you are getting some attention from some of the big players. At least they're aware of you anyway, right? So that's good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there just isn't very many things, they can't help but be, because there are very, very few things of size and scale like Grasset out there right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a hidden value in your stock price, I think. Well, just in summing up, Darren, what should investors be watching for? You'll have more assays through the summer, I suppose, into the fall?
Yeah, I think they're looking. I think over the next little bit here, for they'll look for us to be getting back to work with the summer fall program, both on the gold side and likely on the nickel side. We're also busy on the corporate side looking at a few opportunities that are out there because, as you said earlier, the junior space is, you know, is again very, very depressed. So there are some opportunities for us to potentially pursue. So we're doing a fair bit of work on that. But in the near term, yeah, looking for the little bit of information from the balance of the winter program and then really the startup of the summer fall program for us as we roll into the second half of the year.
Excellent. Well, very good. Well, I look forward to seeing you as well. I believe you're going to be at the Metals Investor Forum in about a week and a half or 2 weeks or something like that from now. I think, are you going to be there, Darren?
Yeah, I should be there, and looking forward to seeing you there and talking to the people that come out.
Very good. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, and we'll look to keep up with your story into the future. Thank you.